Hello, it's Wednesday the 6th of March. I'm Miranda Sawyer and I worry that Uncle Gary won't make any friends. Welcome back to Paper Cuts, the modern newspaper review, where we praise the UK press for all the excellent things they achieve before pointing out teeny tiny areas where they might improve and then releasing all their dodgy texts to the socials, just for a laugh. Is that right? And if you enjoy the show and you fancy helping us out with a few quid every month, then why not join the Papercut Supporters Club? Rest assured that every penny you send is wisely spent on buying newspapers and paying producers and on a cute promotional video where me and my husband reveal just how we stack the children in the dishwasher. So if you fancy helping us out and getting ad-free episodes, a special extra story at the end of the show, and maybe even a Papercuts mug or a t-shirt, then why not zip to the show notes and click on back.papercutsshow.com to see how you too can become a Papercuts supporter. Now, here are the headlines for today's show. Can't come soon enough. Everyone's betting on a general election in May. Cringe watch. Rishi and his wife talk sharing the chores. Nation feels better about its own relationship. And steak bake-off. The Times gets judgy about Greggs. Welcome to Paper Cuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Paper Cuts. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and joining me today is host of TLDR News and man who's actually been to number 10 Downing Street. It's Ben Blissett. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
And also with us is comedy writer and man who's actually been to the close from ever decreasing circles. It's Jason Hazley.
Hello. Hello.
So what have we got on the front pages today? Ben, what have you got?
So a lot of the papers seem to be going with the budget today. So The Guardian is leading with Hunt defies public services alarm with pre-election budget tax cuts. We've got The Times going with Hunt looks to win over voters with £900 tax cut. Although that £900 is if you take into account last year's national insurance cut as well. So it's actually £450.
Let's point that out.
Yeah. We've got The Telegraph just going with tax cuts spark election talk. And that's sort of over the ways that they're cutting tax and the sort of legislation around it that gives some people think are giving hints to an sort of May election. And then The Eye is going Labour fears Tory budget trap as Hunt cuts national insurance by 2p in giveaway, which I think is just that Labour seem to think that they're going to have to put taxes up again when they inevitably get in later this year. So a lot of talk about the budget today, but it's all just about this 2p off national insurance. Haven't seen anything else really about the budget yet.
No, okay.
There was some reporting about freezing fuel duty again. Yeah. Wasn't there? Which basically said, this is for the rich.
Yeah.
That's who this is for.
Yeah, exactly.
You know those people with enormous cars? This is for them.
Yeah, this is for you. So, Ben, let's have a quick look at that Telegraph headline about tax cuts and the idea of a May election.
Yeah, this talk about the May election, it seems to be very much about people have sort of looked into how they're going to do this national insurance cut. And to do the national insurance cut, you've got to put legislation through Parliament. So it's on the 13th of March, the government set some time aside for legislation to rush through this national insurance cut. And they're trying to get that done in a day, which is quite unusual. Then you've got on the 18th of March, Sunak's bringing back the Rwanda bill to try and finish that off, getting it through Parliament. And what people are sort of looking at those two things is that because they both fall before the 25th of March, so the 25th of March is the last time the government has. It's the last moment for them to call an election for it to coincide on the 2nd of May. So they think that because it seems that they're trying to get those both through with some sense of urgency, it's an indication that Sunak is hoping to try and hold an election on the same day as obviously the local elections and the London mayoral election. So both of those things, like people are looking into that. I think Labour are quite keen as well. And it sort of works on both fronts for Labour, because if it happens, obviously they want an earlier election. And if it doesn't, and they've built up this idea that it's going to happen in May, they can accuse the Tories of sort of bottling it and pushing the election back. So Labour are quite keen to push this idea that it's going to happen in May. But yeah, some people are looking at the national insurance cut as some indication that the election's going to happen. in May.
Please, put us out of our misery.
rather than just an indication of desperation, which is what it seems to
be. Yeah, all
is
that.
There anything we've got left? No, nothing. Oh, we'll just have to cut some national insurance. I wonder whether Starmer will lean into actually having a go at that and saying, this is not what we needed and we didn't need it now, because that seems to be where public opinion is. That way, he might then be able to go, I'm going to reverse this and actually do it in a kind of righteous way.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, that would assume that Starmer's going to oppose something, which, given his track record, might not happen.
Yes, see what I did there, yes. Yeah. I've got a 50 quid bet with my sister-in-law that the election won't be till next January.
Oh, so. Shush, please. Oh, my God.
But I don't mind. If we get an early election, I'll be as happy with that as I would with 50 quid.
It's true. What do you have anyway?
I've got the tabloids. Mm. The Daily Mail has 5 SAS soldiers in murder probe over jihadi death. But it also has showbiz exclusive. Michael Gambon leaves 1.5 million to wife, but nothing to mistress.
Shocker.
I'm not sure who we're supposed to be annoyed with there or whose side we're on. On the Mirror, blast from Kate's uncle. This fucking man isn't going to go away anytime soon.
I'm into Uncle Gary.
Meghan put stick in the spokes.
Mm.
On the Sun, exclusive nude photos shock. Party girl, I'll put Harry Vegas snaps on OnlyFans. This is someone with the improbable name of Carrie Royale, who is threatening to put photos of Prince Harry at naked in a Las Vegas hotel room in 2012 on her OnlyFans channel.
Go on. That's what I say.
Yeah. I don't think that would do him any harm. And The Star, proud to love animals. First of all, on the masthead at the top, they've got inside absolutely nothing at all about the boring old budget. So, well done, The Star. They've also got in the sidebar, they've got a story about Chris Packham losing his shit with some Tory with about 15 surnames for culling some animals. But they describe Chris Packham as TV God.
It's because he loves animals.
I suppose so, yes. Anyway, their main story is bogey boffins squirting snot up your conch could cure hay fever.
Ew.
And it's not just snot, it's other people's snot.
Oh, no, please. No, we're moving on.
The cure being worse than the disease there, sort of.
Yeah. So that's today's bodily fluids section done.
Now, as we've heard, several people seem to think that we're just a couple of months away from an election. So it's good to see that the number 10 communication strategy is revving up, making sure that Rishi Sunak gets the right media exposure. Ben, who has Rishi been talking to and what has he been talking about?
So he's been talking to, his wife for Grazia. And the interview was nominally for International Women's Day, which is on Friday, and it was talking about sort of the division of labour within the household, and they're asking both Rishi and Akshata what jobs they do, but it just came across as sort of a thinly veiled argument between the two of them. it's just awkward more than anything.
So
I think it looked like there was an attempt to sort of come across as a normal couple, and I don't think that worked particularly well. But there was just some really odd moments in it. There was the fact that Akshata had said that she had toast in bed like 20 years or however long earlier when she was at uni, and Rishi was saying how much he found that disgusting and sort of said that on camera.
Yep.
Then they had a little argument about how to stack the dishwasher, and it's just sort of how is this helping him? Like, who sort of signed this off and thought this is a good idea that's going to make him seem more of a man of the people? Like, this can't be helping him in the run up to an election, surely.
It's also really weird because it's also incredibly boring.
Yeah,
it's really boring. Like, the division of labour is like something that I would say that a lot of straight women would have quite a lot to say about, but because they're kind of, it's a political interview for him, nothing is really said, and it's all smiley and it's so dull, it's so boring.
Yeah, it almost seems as well that she was very much trying to come across as quite a loving couple, and he seemed to be the one that was mainly jumping in on sort of petty arguments, which it sort of seems counterintuitive. I would have assumed that he would be looking at this from the sort of political perspective of, we need to try and come out of this as much of a normal couple and try and come out of this as well as we can. I don't know, it just seems...
I mean, his normality radar is absolutely fucked, isn't it?
Yeah, you know,
the passive aggression was actually very funny.
Yeah.
But there's even passive aggression in the fact that he's sitting there wearing pressed trousers and a shirt and tie, trying to look casual. He couldn't look any further from casual if he tried.
Yeah.
Oh, it's one of the dullest and yet most interesting videos I've seen in quite a while.
Did you find, like me, that your sphincter was basically between your eyes?
Oh, my God. My toes were... I mean, I don't think they've uncurled. It's so cringy. It's just... It's absolutely terrible. The thing that I found quite weird, because you're right, there's a lot of kind of passag in there, but is that he kind of comes across as this slightly frustrated little boy.
Yeah.
And she comes over, I have to say, I mean, it's, you know, God love her, I wouldn't want to do this. She comes over as a little bit patronising and a little bit like his teacher somehow. Mm. It's just awful. Oh, my God, it's terrible.
It is. It does feel like it's the most revealing insight we're going to get into the dynamics of their relationship.
Yeah.
Which is not what it was meant to be.
No. No, and also there was the awkward moment where they were talking about like who makes the bed or something.
Oh, my God.
And then he was saying, oh, I sometimes run up to check that the bed's been made, like, when I'm working. It's like, when he said that, I wonder what went through his head of, like, how does this help in any sense?
Yeah. And also, you know, I'm not being funny, he's a prime minister.
Yeah.
Like, get on with your job. Don't start rushing upstairs to straighten your bed. I mean, just get on with the job.
That emerged as a kind of running theme. You know, I go up and make the bed and then I restack the dishwasher, and it's a bit like I'm just correcting all these things that other people aren't doing to my satisfaction.
Yeah, exactly. Then I just do a little cryy face because Rishi's not happy with the domestic setup. Because that's what it's like, isn't it?
Also, we have to point this out as well. This is an ultra high wealth individual we're talking about. Two ultra high wealth individuals we're talking about. They've got staff. They have got staff, right? So shut up about making the bed. I imagine normal bot is somewhere in Rishi's head going, what do normal people do? Make beds, stack dishwasher.
And also, it's a duvet, mum. It's like, it's not that hard. It's not like you're tucking in, like you're doing, not doing hospital corners. You're just straightening the duvet.
Always one of the papers says today, private hospital corners.
Anyway, the papers, how have the papers received this interview, would you say?
I tell you what, the understandably, no one is very impressed with this interview. It's terrible, it's gauche, it doesn't do what it set out to do, et cetera, et cetera. But it's inspired some very, very good writing.
Yeah.
Weirdly, the Telegraph has really gone for it. Ed Cumming in the Telegraph, I'm just going to read you some because this is brilliant writing. Sunak's answers are a symphony of awkwardness. There are clear overlaps between the unmade bed and the dishwasher, small arenas where Sunak is able to hold back the universal forces of entropy, if only for a few moments. We imagine his inner peace as he ensures all the cutlery is pointing in the same direction, free from the human chaos of politics. There are no Lee Andersons in Amila. And Tim Stanley, also in the Telegraph, points out that he writes, in a display of pre-election normality. Mm. Now, just think about those words for a moment. You're having to display normality. That's not normality, is it?
And also, it wasn't normal.
No, it wasn't normal.
it wasn't normal.
It was deeply not normal.
Yeah, it's very weird. I mean, the thing that the one I liked the best was John Crace from The Guardian, because when we found this video and we put it all around our WhatsApp, didn't we? And I started watching it and had to stop because it was so awful and wrote the words, kill me now. And then John Crace wrote exactly those words. Kill me now. Now, in the Times, there is a long feature about high street hero Greggs, which has just overtaken McDonald's as our nation's favourite spot for takeaway breakfast. It's a success story, Greggs, so you might presume this is a celebratory piece. Jason, is the Times saying Greggs is a good thing?
Is it fuck? No, this is one of those pieces where some people who think they're slightly more middle class than they are, have a go at something that they don't understand because they think it's more working class than it is.
Yeah, it's just this.
It's
I think
horrible. It's horrible. Very judgy.
Mm.
For instance, the word cheap appears twice in the first paragraph.
Yeah.
This is Hannah Evans, who's the deputy food editor at the Times, who is writing as if she's just come from another planet and has landed in Greggs. Hannah Evans has asked her friends and colleagues why they dine at Greggs.
Dine at Greggs?
Dine.
I love it.
Like it's the fucking idea that Wolsey
you're,
or something.
Yeah, exactly, that you're tucking your napkin in, getting your knife and fork out.
Yeah. The sommelier bringing you a Diet Coke, you know.
Do you think they see it as something that you do, like, after work, you go for, like, a meal? Do you think that that's how they look at it? Because no one, you just sort of pick it up on the way that you're going somewhere, surely.
Yes, like, yes.
So do you think that's how they're looking at this? Do you think this is where the misunderstandings come?
I mean, I really don't know. I mean, they're incredibly rude about it. She calls it gastronomic terrorism. I mean, I think that's a bit hardcore.
That's very hardcore. It's just a horrible piece.
It's one of those pieces that is quite joyful to read because it reveals so much about the writer, don't you think?
Yeah, that's true.
Where she says, despite such other high street staples as Le Pain Quotidien shutting down, that's not a high street
that's
staple.
That's not a high street staple.
Greggs has had another excellent year. And basically, Greggs is doing really well. Its sales went up 20% last year. Like, they opened 220 outlets last year and they're going to open another 150 or so this year. They've just given out £700 bonus to their staff. You could write a really brilliant article about Greggs, but they don't. They're just really snobby about it. They call it a zeitgeisty, greasy, rough around the edges institution along with Wetherspoons and Nando's, which tells me they've never been to a Wetherspoons and they've never been to Nando's, which is not greasy or rough around the edges. What are they talking about?
I mean, they're really doubling down as well by listing those two in addition to Greggs in the article. I mean, if it's not already they're sort of having a go at you know, these kind of institutions, the fact that they've listed two more and bundled them all together.
Here are some other places we don't go.
Hull.
Exactly that. There's a bit. There's also that really brilliant bit where they bring the Greggs stuff back to the office.
Yeah, so what they do is she goes out, she goes into Greggs for the first time in her beautiful life and buys some stuff and then brings it back to the office and she shares it with the other food editor, Tony Turnbull, and they review some of the Greggs things. Back in the office, the bags emblazoned with Greggs' instantly recognisable logo drew in the crowds.
I felt like
the Pied Piper.
For God's sake, is that what the Times is like? That they get excited about a Greggs? I feel genuinely sorry for them.
It's just beige matter, isn't it? A colleague remarked. What, you mean pastry? Yes. By the way, the Times, you fucking hypocrites, two pages before, there's an enormous feature on how beige is the new bling. So, gotcha. Skewered you.
Anyway, what do they test? Because they do test them out, don't they?
Okay, well, the one that gets the lowest score, actually, there are five that get one star, including the sausage roll, the chicken bake, the sausage bean and cheese melt, and the vegan sausage roll.
I would like to talk about this.
Yes.
As would I.
Yeah, okay, I am not a vegan. But I've had the vegan sausage roll. It is really good. Like, it's flatly a good sausage roll. They are wrong.
It's part of a long tradition of Fleet Street going, you know that thing that's doing well? Go and give it a kicking, will you?
Yes, exactly. Go and give it a posh kicking.
Yeah, posh kicking. Yes, put some nice shoes on to kick this one.
I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saeed Avasi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves. The kind of things that people say don't touch, we are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, as you know, we're lovers of great headlines here at Paper Cuts. We're fond of a rhyme, a pun, a slightly weird spelling, and a misquoted pop song, as long as they're used to make an All the Medals headline. Do we have any good ones today? Ben, what have you got?
Yeah, so I've got a story about a pair of doppelgangers. And to be fair, the story is actually quite bizarre. So there were two people, both called Mark Garland, who were going from Heathrow to Thailand. Yeah. It's reported that they look similar. They don't actually look that similar. Yeah, it says that they couldn't believe how similar they looked, both sporting shaved heads. I don't know how similar that actually makes you. But I suppose the fact they both have the same name is a bit weird. But the headline they've gone with is Two Mark Garlands, There's Only Two Mark Garlands.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah,
I like that. And where is that in? You better say.
Oh, sorry. This is the Star.
Okay.
Yeah. They've also got news about NASA and the fact that they've spent £18 million designing a space loo.
Space loo?
Loo, yes. Okay. They sort of go through a brief history of the fact that astronauts used to have to sort of go in the their spacesuits, and they say about how that sort of changed, and they've designed basically a suction funnel that prevents leaks, is what they've described it as.
Ooh, that's a bit iffy.
Randy, yeah,
your face. That's quite a shock.
I thought you thought we'd done with bodily fluids, didn't you?
Yeah.
No. Back again. Oh, no. So they've gone with the headline to bodily go.
Ooh, to bodily go as well. Yeah. I just presumed they kind of pooed in a bag. No?
Oh, they do that as well. Don't worry, that £18 million was only spent on some suction funnels. So, yeah. And then they've also got one on the tooth gems fad. They say that teens are taking inspiration from Bond baddie Jaws, which I'm certain they're definitely not.
Yeah.
But they say that they're getting their gnashes covered by metal bling in the latest fashion fad.
Grills.
Yeah, exactly. So they... They've titled this one Nation Victims.
That's nice.
Which is good. Yeah. I think that's the best headline they could have gone with that story.
Okay. Jason, what did you have?
I've got page 15 of The Star. There is the story about 71-year-old Anne Hughes, the cleaner from Tonteg, who was waiting outside the shop that she cleans early in the morning when her coat became caught in the roller and she was lifted up. You've probably seen the video. If you haven't seen the video, it's everywhere online. Have a look at it. It's magnificent. She was lifted up by the roller.
Kind of by her bum, wasn't she?
Yes, by her bum. And she went down and she clutched the handle of her granny roller, I think thinking, this might keep me anchored to the ground.
I've got me tins in there. Yeah.
And she was rescued by the shop owner shortly afterwards. Anyway, they have that. This is all done under the headline, Shoplifting.
Excellent.
Nice.
It's such a lovely video. I love that.
It's tremendous. It's weirdly life-affirming for someone who must be quite frightening.
True.
On page 7 of The Sun, we've got this story about FKA Twigs, who had posed for a Calvin Klein advert, which the Advertising Standards Authority said this is a stereotypical sexual objectification and banned it.
Yeah.
And then FKA Twigs said... No, it isn't. What I see is a beautiful, strong woman of colour whose incredible body has overcome more pain than you can imagine. And the ASA went, yes, sorry, no, it's not banned anymore. Anyway, the headline is, don't know what the FKA you're doing.
Hey.
Very good. And finally from The Sun, page 21, and this is sensational. Hugh Jackman is about to star in a film called Three Bags Full, A Sheep Detective Story. Now, I'll just give you a little bit of detail on this. Hugh will play an Irish shepherd who gets murdered only for his flock of sheep to take on human attributes and turn sleuth to try and find out who killed him.
Wow, slightly more sci-fi than I imagined.
That's fucking wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, the headline is, it's Hugh Jackman.
Yay!
As in EWE. Yep.
Now, Guardian feature staple Zoe Williams has written a piece all about red carpet interviews and where they're going a little bit haywire. How the Red Carpet Was Ruined is the title, so we can kind of guess what's going on here. Jason, what is this about?
Well, what this is about is the incredible inanity that people who are on their way into award ceremonies are asked. And it starts with Hugh Grant.
Everything does.
Yeah. What are you excited to see tonight? The model and TV presenter Ashley Graham asked Hugh Grant on the red carpet of last year's Oscars. To see, Grant replied. Did he have his hopes up for anyone? No one in particular. And then she asked him, what are you wearing tonight? And he said, my suit.
I feel a bit sorry for her. I have to say, I have done some of these gigs and they are hard. It's hard to act because essentially they're fashion shows. So they were established really so that you get dressed by whatever fashion house, you twirl about a bit and people go, oh, you know, who are you wearing? And you go, oh, it's Prada or it's Givenchy or whatever. That's the deal. But obviously that's quite boring.
Yes.
So they've tried, you know, a few people have tried to up the stakes.
But what are you looking forward to seeing? Well, it's an award ceremony.
I mean, they made a huge mistake, isn't
statues?
It?
Statues? I don't know.
Yeah. Other people?
Other people? People I work with, my colleagues, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a bit kind of, this used to happen a lot. You would get reporters standing, shouting at people as they went into events. Are you excited? Yeah. You know, because that was about the level of engagement they could
get with. Exactly that. But they, I mean, the one thing about this article that is quite interesting is they list some of the terrible, I mean, it makes me feel a lot better because I have, you know, been in these situations and it's not easy. But they list the terrible interviews, which is very cheering.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a bizarre one. BBC journalist Colin Patterson.
That's awful.
Right. Who's otherwise rather good. Asked Andrew Scott at this year's BAFTAs what he thought of Barry Keoghan's penis at the end of Saltburn.
Yeah, that I think is the tag for the whole thing. It's because that was so difficult to watch and everybody was really upset that it was just, you know, appalling.
I think as well, there surely is a way to be able to make the interviews a little bit more interesting. I mean, Amelia de Moldenberg.
Oh, yeah, often, she's amazing.
Yeah, her sort of like deliberately awkward style of interviewing is quite good at those sort of events. It's a bit more interesting, it's a bit quirky, but without sort of crossing any lines or making anyone particularly uncomfortable or anything like
that. But she's also known now, so I think that it's difficult because there's a difference because people know who she is.
Yeah.
So then Andrew Scott can get quite flirty with her, or Paul Mescal can get quite flirty with her because it's just like, it's a safe environment and that's what she does. There's some really dodgy ones in there though, aren't there? Let's pick out the dodgy ones, shall we? What about the one where Isaac Mizrahi, who's the fashion designer, was interviewing for E! At the Golden Globes in 2006?
Yeah. And he greeted Scarlett Johansson by grabbing her breast, as Zoe Williams writes, to make some point about, I don't know, her breast. The same night, he asked Terry Hatcher and Keira Knightley about their underwear and Eva Longoria whether she shaved down there.
It's just so bad. That is so grim. Bad. But there is one beautiful moment with... Can we do beautiful moment with Zac Efron, which really cheered me up?
Zac Efron did wonders for his reputation when a condom flipped out of his pocket on the red carpet for the premiere of The Lorax.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to Ben.
Thank you.
Thanks to Jason.
Thank you.
And of course, thanks to you, you very good-looking and clever listeners, especially our Paper Cut supporters who get a shout-out on the show. Who have you got, Ben?
Thanks a million, Al Neal and Warren Slater.
And from me, thanks a billion to Rebecca Button and Felicity Smee.
And from me, thanks a gazillion trillion billion to Elizabeth Gilder and Cal Pigeon. Great name. I've been Miranda Sawyer and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when The Guardian reveals that the disastrous Glasgow Willy Wonka experience, hooray, is the subject of a new horror movie focusing on the unknown, the evil chocolate maker who lives in the walls. At last, we finally know where Kate Middleton has been. Learn that script, Queen. See you tomorrow.
Paper Cuts is written and presented by Miranda Sawyer with Ben Blissett and Jason Hazley. Audio production and music are from Simon Williams. Production is from Liam Tate and assistant production by me, Adam Wright. Designed by James Parra and socials by Kieran Leslie. The managing editor is Jacob Jarvis, the group editor is Andrew Harrison, and the executive producer is Martin Boytosh. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.